Hello, everyone. This is Elijah Daly, minister of 12th hour. Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th hour. This is January 11, 2023, or Shivat 2026. We're going to start our first service today with a prayer thought and a prayer, and we're going to then go into our main service. We're going to continue our series on with the tract Mount Zion at the 11th hour by the Beit Yehoshua. It's written back in about 1939, I guess, 37. We're on page 31. The whole world has to be reintroduced to this everlasting kingdom of heaven that's coming down to be set up, brought up underneath their feet for the saints. Only the saints can stand in it. No one else can stand in it. Okay, we're going to do a little review from our last study. We'll try to take in the last paragraph on page 30 on Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And it says, or the last two paragraphs, where Sister White makes a quote from early writings, page 119, where she says, "These unalterable truths are the type and parable." And folks, we're going to be taught what type and antitype is. And that's the only way that we'll know where we're at on the road to that holy city, is that I understand what antitype we are portraying today and the time frame that it's in. These unalterable truths of the type and parable and the word of his testimony bring us face to face with the solemn reality that we are come. Now I say that, it says that we are, which we are as present tense for her, that for us to re-quote her, we have to say that we have, as a people today, for the fulfillment of what is being talked about here, has come to the time of the antitypical Passover, and that Passover was at Turner, Texas, 2002, with Frohlich Johnson as the minister of that Kingdom of Gilead at Kermit, Texas, 2002. And Brother Johnson made the main prophecy at that Passover that this is exactly the exact antitype of the Passover that Yahshua had with the disciples 2,000 years ago. And he was talking about the second Passover that he had on that one night when he said, "Likewise this cup after supper," that's in Matthew 26:26-28. So he said we are at the antitype of that. That was at Passover 2002. So it says I can now go back and reread that and say Elijah David now has this prophecy to explain and to fulfill more fully today. For these unalterable truths of the type and parable and the word of this testimony bring us face to face with the solemn reality that we have as a people today of Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the everlasting kingdom of David, that the little stone that strikes the image on the feet and grows into a mountain fills the whole earth. This little stone is found in Daniel 2:44-45 that they're talking about here. So he said that we have come unto the time of the antitypical Passover and the cleansing of the temple. That would mean now The fulfillment of this statement would be the bringing forth of the 144,000 as the first fruits harvest out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. And we're still looking for the fulfillment of that event. So the cleansing of the temple then would be bringing forth the 144,000 out of the Adventist Church from all over the world and fulfilling Ezekiel 9. Okay, and so you go read Ezekiel 9, at least verse 1 through 9, to get the understanding of what I just said. And for the harvest of the world, that would be the great multitude after the 144,000 first fruits are harvested. And that would be the harvest of the world, found in Revelation 7:9. All nations, kindred, tongue, race, and people. That would mean the Gentile brethren of the Hebrew Israelites. And that harvest that would be found in Isaiah 66:16-20. Okay, for it says the great and dread cleansing of the temple, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and for the harvesting of the world, in the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the Son. For the Spirit of the Yahweh, the Father, bids us with the awful solemnity, get ready, get ready, get ready, for the fierce anger of the Yahshua is soon to come. For his wrath is to be poured out unmixed with the mercy. So his wrath is unmixed with the mercy. And ye are not ready. Now this is Ellen's revert back to Ellen G. White when she made this statement. And early writings, page 119, that was before the 20th century came on in 1890. Or she might have made it in 2001, 2002, 2003. I don't have a date here. And rend the heart and not the garment. Okay. Oh, let no one be misled into thinking that after the close of the probation, or after the second coming of Yahshua, after the sinners in the world have been destroyed, that the Yahweh's church, the Seventh-day Adventist, shall attain unto the exalted standard of the church. No, because Yahshua will have come to do this work himself, to take the sinners out of the Adventist church, the terror, bind them in bundles, and then he alone will order the destruction, which is through Ezekiel 9, take place. He will personally purify and cleanse and harvest the first fruit. And then he'll groom the first fruits, 144,000, to go and harvest their brethren. And Yahshua will go with them by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this work, then from all over the world. Oh, let no one be misled into thinking that after the close of the probation, or after the second coming of the Yahshua, and after the sinners in the world have been destroyed, for the Yahweh's church shall attain unto the exalted, that the Yahweh's church will attain unto the exalted standard of the character, and unto the high office appointed of the heaven, and be purified from sin and sinners. Oh, and on the contrary, in that day, before the sinners in the world have been destroyed, says the Yahshua, the Son, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. How's he going to do it? Because he has come to the earth to take charge of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, this kingly palace ground of the day, really, that Yahshua has come and taken his seat upon the throne of this kingdom of David, and that's in Luke 1:32-33, and that's in the prophecy of Isaiah 9, verse 6-8. All that burden himself of this shall be cut into the pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Yahrushua, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David. And the house of the David, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, with this origin at Kermit, Texas, at the judgment there of Ezekiel 9, starting with the instrument for the house in 2002, it shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahshua before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek for the destroying of all of the nations that come against the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the modern-day Jerusalem of today, that would be the everlasting kingdom of David, set up, that fulfills the prophecy there in Amos 9, where it says he's going to raise up, this antithetical David is going to raise up this wall that have fallen down, called the tabernacle of David, that has fallen down. This antithetical David, Yahshua's right hand and his helper that he has anointed, is going to raise up this tabernacle of David that has fallen down. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahshua's house shall be like unto the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in the Yahrushalayim and in the Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host. And the host is the house of David members, and that's the tribe of Judah. So Judah is Yahshua's host, says so there in the prophecy of Isaiah 49:10. It says the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And Shiloh is another name for Yahshua the Son. And the Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Yea, every part in the Yahrushalayim, every part, meaning every holy person that's come to the judgment, and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua the host, because he's going to be there sitting upon the throne of David on that kingly palace ground in Jerusalem in the 12th parabolic hour that we are in now. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe. Seethe is another word for boiling water. Therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite. In other words, the descendants of Canaan. That Adam and Eve's firstborn son, that was a devil. In the house, in the Seventh-day Adventist house that has been purified with the 144,000 that is now called the Everlasting Kingdom of David, says Yahshua the host. Zechariah 12:3, 8:9, Zechariah 14:20-21. For these verses expressly declare that the house, the purified house of the Seventh-day Adventist, with Yahshua and his host, the 144,000 sitting as kings and priests and ruling upon the 144,000 thrones in the kingdom of David, they're going to be as the Yahweh. as the angel of the Yahshua before them during the time of the trouble. Not before or after the time of the trouble, but during the time of the trouble. When the nation shall gather against her, and the Yahshua and the vengeance shall then smite them, probation still lingering, while this sequence of the events takes place, all they that sacrifice an act which is performed before the close of the probation shall therefore be holy, and there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua. Now I want to point out that when Isaac and Rebekah brought forth Esau and Jacob, the twin sons back then, and that was a divine providence that that happened, that Rebekah petitioned heaven, why, or to Isaac, her husband, why they hadn't had any children yet, and Isaac petitioned heaven, and heaven gave them these two sons. And these two sons turned out representing two nations. And one of these nations was called the Kingdom of Edom. That turned out to be with a new name. That came from Esau, the firstborn that had inherited the birthright to be the progenitor of the righteous line, to carry on the righteous line of the Hebrew nation. And he despised it, and so therefore it was he disinherited it. Jacob inherited it. But anyway, having said all this, this is where they ended up, because the descendants then of Esau became known as Canaanites. No, actually, yeah. Because Esau married two daughters of Ishmael, the firstborn son of Abraham that was rejected by Yahweh and driven out of Abraham's house to not be heir with the seed of Abraham through Isaac ever. And so Ishmael turned out that he raised up at least 12 sons, and his firstborn were called Canaanites, and they were also called Muslims. They were also called Arabs. So Rebekah had twin sons. One of them represented the Arab nation, and the other represented the Hebrew nation. So Jacob, the second born, represented the Hebrew nation. First born of Rebekah, Esau, represented the Arab nation that had its origin down in Egypt. So it says, every true Bible student knows that the Seventh-day Adventist Church must reach this purity of the heart and character and position not after, but before the Yahshua's mediatorial work is finished in the heavenly sanctuary, and before the sacrifice has ceased. All such students know also that the Yahweh can never manifest His great power. And we're going to turn that word Yahweh, God, is change that to Yahshua, Lord, meaning Yahshua the Son. I also know that the Yahshua can neither manifest His great power when He comes to the earth to defend His purified congregation, to defend them in the time in which all the people of the earth gather together against them, nor bestow his Spirit upon them, as he did upon the early apostolics on the day of the Pentecost. If there are sinners among his people, and if the entire church do not with one accord, Acts 2:1, clad in the armor of the Yahshua's righteousness, clear as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with the banners, as was the apostolic church, upon which the Spirit descended as a rushing mighty wind. Acts 2:2. Only those, says the Spirit of the prophecy, who have withstood and overcome temptation through the strength of the Mighty One, and the Mighty One Isaiah called Yahshua the Son, will be permitted to act as a part in the proclaiming of this message when it shall have swelled into the loud cry, review in hell, November 19, 1908. That was published. Sister White died in 1915. And that the loud cry failed not to sound on time or at all those who do not overcome, those who have betrayed their trust, the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and who have stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, the last one being Verlis W. Johnson at Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003, must be removed. And Ben Maroden, the successor of Vicki Holler, after he died in 1955, he was the one before Verlis Johnson, and he had that post from 55 to 1970, and he failed. And Vicki Holler had to be removed by death because he tried to bring the fulfillment of all the prophecies that he had already interpreted in the 10th parabolic hour. And all those prophecies that he interpreted were to meet their fulfillment in the 12th parabolic hour. And he thought he was in the 11th, the last one, and all the time he was in the 10th trying to fulfill all of it. So that's the reason why Yahweh had to remove him. And Yahweh removed him in the 10th parabolic hour, 1955. This is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last word with the figure of the man. I changed that preposition under to the preposition with. With the figure of the man, each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. Testimony, Volume 3, page 266. For the men, maidens, and little children all perished together. So all those in the Adventist church, when it comes time to bring forth the 144,000, if they haven't purified and overcome themselves and everything that is required of them to become saints so that they can also receive the three seals that are mentioned there and Revelation 3:12, then they will also be cut off and destroyed. Confronted with the towering certainty of the Adventist imminent purification, sealing, and subsequent glory, we hasten for the facing of the church's condition just before the purification. What greater deception can come upon the human mind than the confidence that they are all right, for they are all wrong, for the message of the true witness, and the true witness is Yahshua. You'll find that recorded in Revelation 1:5 and Revelation 3:14. finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. For they know not that their condition is deplorable and the sight of Yahweh. For while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of the true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony, cutting and severe, cannot be a mistake, for it is a true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, page 252 and 253. Who can truthfully say our gold is tried in the fire? Our garments are unspotted by the world. I saw our instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off, for he laid bare the defilement that beneath. And he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and the rottenness of the character? How is the faithful city become an harlot? My father's house, okay, is made a house of the merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause, there is weakness and strength is lacking, or lacking. Testimony, Volume 8, page 250. For the ancient man, that is, the prophets that have been placed in the leadership role of the temple, those under whom Yahweh had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. For it is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainment and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message that declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Testimony, Volume 3, page 253. There are many who do not have the discretion of the Joshua, and who have no special duty for the searching out of the wrongs and for the dealing promptly with the sins existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of this work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question and doubt and find fault because others do the work that Yahweh has not laid upon themselves. For they stand directly in the way for the hindering of those upon whom the Yahweh has laid the burden of the reproving and for the correcting of the prevailing sin that his frown may be turned away from his people. Should a case like the Achans be among us, there are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua and the searching out of the wrong, of the having a wicked fault-finding spirit. For Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. For the Yahweh's displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while the sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible positions. Those who work in the fear of the Yahweh for the ridding of his church of the hindrances and for the correction of the grievous wrongs, that the people of Yahweh may see of the necessity for the abhorrent sin, and may prosper in the purity, and that the name of the Yahweh may be glorified, but ever meet with the resisting influences from the unconsecrated. For Zephaniah thus describes the true state of this class and the terrible judgment that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves that say in their heart, Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. For the great and day of Yahshua is near, for it is near and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of Yahshua. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That mighty man is the head prophet of the house of Israel. When a crisis finally comes, as it surely will, and the Yahweh speaks in the behalf of his people, those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of the darkness, and who have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone in the murmuring and in the bringing of the discouragement upon the cause. And like the Achan, becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, but their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind for the benefiting themselves, although they may relieve the cause of the other. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by a spirit as foreign to the spirit of Yahweh as was Achan, will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. Testimony of Volume 3, page 272. For we have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers, but this is not the case. For Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds, for Yahshua the Son has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself, like he did at Kermit, Texas, at the Passover 2003 with the brothers W. Johnson, and took him out of the leadership role and gave that leadership role unto me, his successor. Just like he did Ben Roden for V.T. Hardiff. He gave Ben Roden the successorship of V.T. Hardiff when he died in 1955. He gave Willis the successorship for Ben Roden when he was taken out of the way in 1970. And I was given the successorship, and I sure came and took Willis out of the way in 2003. Well, not true. He will take charge of the flock himself. For Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. Verily, the days, of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are hastening on apace. For Yahweh will have, as a people of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, being the first fruits harvest that will be pure and true, and that would be the 144,000. And a mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able for the mission of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will maintain that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor for those who have trusted unto the intellect, genius, or talent, will not then stand at the head of the rank and file. For they did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. For they are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he can not use them. For the Yeshua has a faithful servant who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed unto the view. But there are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee unto the Baal. For they have not had the light that have been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, but it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80-81. For the foregoing series of the statements shows that the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, must be cleansed before the rest of the Yahweh's people are gathered out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, in other words, thus those Gentiles waiting in those Gentile nations to be brought to the mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:16-20. Then in those days and in that time when I shall bring again of the captivity of the Jews, that's the house of David, and the captivity of the house of Jerusalem, that's the house of Jeroboam, 10 tribes in the north of their capital at Samaria. Judah's capital is in Jerusalem. Says the Yeshua, for I will also gather all the nations and will bring them down into the valley of the Jehoshaphat. Now after he gathers all the remnant of the Adventist church all over the world, and that's all the Gentile nations, then he's going to go and gather all of the other nations down into another valley, and that's called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Joel 3:1-2. to be delivered from the captivity and for the hearing of the Yahshua plea. Therefore, his people, one dare not spurn now his pleadings. For they say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? That thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again unto me, saith Yahshua. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been alain with in ways. Hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been, let's do it again, therefore the showers of the latter rain have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead that refuses to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Thou art the God of my youth. Okay, that scripture that you need to know is taken from Jeremiah 3:3. It says, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain, and thou hast this whore's forehead that refuses to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Thou art the God of my youth. Go and proclaim with these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel. They have gone into Babylon in the northern country. So that would be the 10 tribes that were taken into the Assyrian captivity that had their capital in Samaria. Says Yahshua, now, I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith Yahshua, and I will not keep anger forever, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Just acknowledge it, that thou hast transgressed against Yahshua, thy Savior and Redeemer, by his blood, and hast scattered thy ways unto the strangers, that's the Assyrian strangers, that has their headquarters in the north, which is in the Babylonian country, under every green tree. That means under every, on every altar where they worship in the north. And you have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahshua. Turn, old backsliding children, saith Yahshua. For I am married unto you. And how do we prove that? We're in Jeremiah on this latter rain, and we're in Jeremiah 23 now, verse 5 to 7, where Yahshua introduced himself as the branch that has raised up to David in Jeremiah 23:5, and then he reintroduced himself as the branch that is married unto this house of David in Jeremiah 33, verse 14 and 15. So when he says, I am married, and you know, also in Hosea, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you unto Zion. But this is where we're at now. Yahshua started this in 2002 at Sherman, Texas. When he started the first judgment of Gilead Assembly with Brother W. Johnson as the ancient man before the house, when he started the judgment of the living, he brought my wife, one part of the United States, in 1970, to join the camp of Gilead. He brought me from the middle of Texas, and where I went and joined the mountain of Gilead. And so my wife and I was joined together there at Gilead Center during a 33 and a half year period of time that we were with the Brothers Johnson. And when the judgment started there, my wife and I are the only one that survived that judgment. We had one other, an elder, that came out with us, but he didn't last long. And I will give you pastors according unto mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge. Or he said, I will give you pastors. Well, these pastors have to be trained with the present truth. If Yahshua has got these kind of pastors around, and I'm sure he has, or he wouldn't say it. He says he's going to give you pastors according unto his heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge. With the knowledge of what? Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He said, because you reject the knowledge, I will reject you, since you will be no priest unto you, because you have forgotten the law of your Yahweh. And I understand it. So he said, I will give you pastors according unto mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge of the present truth, of the manna from heaven on a daily basis, as pointed out in Matthew 24:45-47. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith Yahshua, that they shall say no more of the ark of the covenant of Yahshua, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call the Jerusalem as the throne of the Yahshua that had transferred from heaven. And that transfer is to head up the judgment of the living. That's in Revelation chapter 5, the whole chapter. It's for that event to take place. Revelation chapter 4 is the whole chapter for the closing out of the dead that lasted from 1844 to 2003. It ended up in Kermit, Texas. Revelation chapter 4 covered that period of time. Now we're in Revelation chapter 5, where we're in the judgment of the living now. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem as the throne of Yahshua. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it, under that throne, unto the name of the Yahshua. Unto Yahushua. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. For in those days, the house of the Judah, the lawgiver, the one that David is in charge of, and Yahushua has come and joined David to form an ensign to sit upon the throne of David, and that was given unto Yahshua by his Father in heaven, and that was recorded by Luke in Luke 1:32-33. Here on earth shall walk with the house of the 10 tribe Israel from the north as Samaria, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, Babylon, unto the land of the south of Babylon, which would be the land of Israel, that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. So the whole land of Israel, starting with the northern land, all the way to the river Euphrates, that's your boundary line for the north of Israel. That's what Yahweh had originally given unto the ancient forefathers of Israel. But now he says, by promise, he's asking now, I apostatized Judah in these last days, and apostatized 10 tribes that have apostatized themselves, and both of them have ended up in Babylon under the captivity of the king of the north during these very last days. Now he's calling for all 12 tribes to come out. So he says, that's in Jeremiah 3:1-4, and that is in 12:12-18. Howbeit, saith Yahshua, behold, I will send you the latter-day antitypical Elijah. That Elijah the Tishbite was a type of, when he went to see Ahab up on Mount Carmel and destroyed 850 false prophets of Ashtoreth and of Baal on one given day. And I can tell you what that day was. That was on a Pentecostal day, when all power in heaven was bestowed upon the prophet to be able to carry out that execution. It says, for I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he said, that's before. But Elijah the gospel prophet is here right now. And I am publishing present truth, and this is all I'll be publishing from now on the return of the 12 tribes of Israel together. And track 8, Mount Zion, the 11th hour of E.T. Hollis, 1937. It's going to be our main textbook. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers and the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, that he may abide the day of his coming, and he shall stand when he appeareth. For he is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. I think that's the tribe that Moses was of. They were the one that became the priesthood that served in the sanctuary and the priesthood department there in the wilderness. When they came out of Egypt the first time, when all the rest of them apostatized in their wilderness, the tribe of Levi didn't. So they were made priests of the sanctuary for that 40 years, and purged them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in their righteousness. So a purified priesthood is the only thing that can offer a purified offering unto the Yahshua of righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua. So these offerings that these converted priesthood that are operating in the Adventist pulpits today, these Jesuit Catholic ministers, they're not even Adventist ministers, they're not even Israelites, they're not even descendants of the Hebrew Israelites, they're the descendants of the Canaanites, And they're evil devils. That's what they are. They actually see this mystery Satan. And they're the one that's standing in the Adventist pulpit today. So it says, then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua, when he has got rid of these evil devils that are standing in our pulpits. And it tells you right there in Matthew 24. It says, that's the abomination that maketh desolate, stand in the holy place. When you get rid of that, then you will purify the sons of Levi. And it will be done by this message of the antitypical Elijah when he comes. And the antitypical Elijah is here doing his work. And then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua, unto the Yahweh the Father, as in the days of the old, and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to the judgment on the Day of Atonement. And that's what will bring Yahweh the Father down, because he is the judge, and he's the only one that can sit upon that on that throne in the most holy place to blot out the sins that have had remission made for them by his Son on that day. The Father has to be there to blot them out. And I will come near unto you to the judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adultery, and against the false swear, and against those that oppress the harlot and his wages. For the widow and the fatherless, and that return aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith Yahshua the host. And the host is your 144,000, and the whole house of David, people that works in his kingdom. For I am the Yahshua, because Yahshua has his throne sitting upon and the throne of David. There in Luke 1:32 and 33, and the prophecy of Isaiah 9:68. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's reading why the 12 tribes of Israel are not consumed, because Yahweh and his Son set up a purified priesthood taken from the tribe of Levi in these last days, because of their faithfulness in the wilderness to be appointed as a priesthood in the wilderness, because they didn't apostatize. But there was others at Kadesh Barnea on the Pentecostal day that Moses was called up into the mount that day, 3 months after he got into the wilderness at Mount Sinai. Moses called from the mount on the day of Pentecost. He stayed there 40 days, just long enough for the people there fighting Aaron and to build them a golden calf, and promised them years after to take them back to Egypt. They were celebrating when Moses came down. And it cost 14,000 lives that day because of that apostasy. So then it says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Okay, so if the house of Judah and the house of Israel, representing the 12 tribes of Israel joined back together, if they will do this and return back unto the sanctuary system to serve Yahshua and his Father in the sanctuary of Psalm 77:13, okay, that David talked about, then Yahshua and the Father both will return unto them in judgment and will pardon and cleanse a remnant out of the 12 tribes, and then they'll have a purified leadership right here on earth to go then and harvest and do the work for their Gentile brethren all over the world. The 144,000 then will be given the responsibility for the harvesting of their brethren, the Gentiles. Even from the days of your father, you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now this is Yahshua talking. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says Yahshua the host. But he said, wherein shall we return? No, but you said, wherein shall we return? For the man robbed Yahweh. But yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In the tithes and offerings. Now you remember when Jacob was forced to leave his father's land, and he rested on the borders of Israel on his way out to his brethren's house in the house of Laban and in the Mesopotamia across the border from Israel. He laid down upon the ground beside the border. He built an altar, and he said to said a prayer. He said, Yahweh, if you will bring me back again to my father's house, I will surely give you a tenth of my tithe. So apparently Esau, that was ahead of Jacob and the line, has been the progenitor to carry on the righteous line of his father Isaac. Apparently he was not paying tithe. Yet he was in charge of the birthright, and he was over Jacob. No wonder Jacob got upset with Esau, because Esau wasn't performing his vows and his rights. And Jacob was the one that had to pay his vows and rights to his brother Esau, because he had the birthright. That's why Jacob was so upset, because he wasn't able to perform his vows and his ordinances under the rulership of his twin brother Esau, that was in charge of the priesthood of Isaac. That's the reason why Jacob says, if you'll bring me back, I will surely give you a tenth of my tithe. Nobody will interfere with that. Jacob was born to the sister. That was the sister of Laban, the idol worshiper, where Jacob had to end up going back to Laban's house to get the 12 sons that would make up the 12 tribes of Israel. So even my wife and I are of the house of Laban. So we were sent down here to our cousins then. Our antipical father is Isaac, but the mother is Laban's sister, Rebekah. And the house of Laban was a brethren unto the father of Abraham. I believe his name was Nahor, or maybe, I can't for sure, but anyway, the father of Abraham. And Abraham is the first Hebrew called across the river Euphrates to establish the land, what was called back then, of Canaan. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahshua the host, shall I not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for the receiving it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahshua of the host. That's the Son. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be delighted, be a delight, some land, saith Yahshua of the host. My family, the Brunken family, started out on the farm for our blessings when I was just 10 years old and less, that I remember had come from my mother voluntarily paying tithe, where my father wouldn't allow it. She had to do it secretly, and when she did, we were blessed out there on the farm. But when the father found out about it, he says, no more tithe, Pan. Then we lost all of our blessings, and we were burnt off the farm, and we had to move into town. So I know about this tithe, Pan. I know when I joined Brother Johnson in 1970, his wife came to me one day and says, you don't need to pay tithe anymore. Says, you spend 50% of your time running for the Adventist Church, to the Adventist Church anyway for us, as a missionary. You spend your money. I said, well, that's my offering. That's my free will offering. She said, well, I just use that to pay your expenses to the Adventist Church, and you don't have to pay us tithe and offerings anymore. I said, oh, no, you don't. I'm not going to start that. So the next time that I had tithe and offering to pay, I walked up to her one year in, and I gave her $600 cash. And she says, what's this for? I said, my tithes and offerings, just for what I've made this year in. And she just said, well, okay, I'll take it. But she didn't want to take it. That was her way of disconnection from me. If she'd get me to not pay my tithes and offerings, then they could disconnect from me, a connection she wanted to make. And so I saw what was going on. But I knew from out on the farm that all blessings come from paying your tithes and offerings. All right. Your words have been styled against me, said the Yeshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of the host, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they work wickedness, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that feared the Yahshua spake often one unto another, and the Yahshua hearkened and heard it, and a book of the remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua. And what did Solomon say at the end of his 40 years, of his apostasy at the end of the 140 years, the 40 years of his ministry? He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's all he could say to wrap up his 40 years of doing things his way and apostatizing and bringing a curse upon the 12 tribes of Israel and causing them to be subjugated and separated after his death because of his terrible, terrible abomination of marrying 1,700 concubines and 300 wives and all of that, and that thought upon his name. It says, those that thought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith Yahshua the host, and that day, what day? That day of the antitypical judgment of the living. And I would make up my jewels, and that would be starting with the 12 tribes, 144,000, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. What do you think of these people that will not pay their tithes once they're converted to this truth of the Yahshua? They're converted to the new and living way. They have learned that the blood of the Yahshua through the new covenant is the only way that they could be saved in these last days. And they've got to keep all of Yahshua's ordinances according to Psalm 77:13 and John 15:10. Thou sure says to the disciples, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And those commandments included paying their tithes and offerings as head ministers. Well, I'll tell you what. We have a church over there in Uganda, Africa, that's been with us at least 30 years between Brother Johnson and me. And we have to send them money to carry on their ministry. And so where do we get our money? We get our money from Yahweh blessing us with money that we have to run our business. And if we didn't have that, we couldn't stay in operation. We certainly couldn't keep that church in Africa in operation. So I know that paying your tithes and offerings is what caused these things to stay alive. And then we got this woman come up with this Adventist woman that we're of the house of Laban, that we are of the same house, and we're blood kin brethren, blood through bloodline. That's how come we ended up together. And come and tell me, oh well, I'll tell you the reason why I don't pay my tithe. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:1-18. Therefore thus saith Yeshua, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay unto the lion, and righteousness unto the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of the lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.